Amen. Thank you, Sister Johnson. All right, tonight we have with us a visiting pastor. He's a missionary. He's one of our missionaries. Most of y'all know him, Brother Morgan. And the pastor has asked him to bring the message tonight. So, Brother Morgan, if you'll come on up here and tell us a little bit about what's going on in Romania and then preach to us, brother.
All right. Thank you, Brother Perkins. All right. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 8. And it's a blessing. Like I said this morning, it's a blessing to be back home. We're just back for a couple of weeks, just visiting some family. We got all of our kids together here this weekend and enjoyed Thanksgiving. And then Saturday we had Christmas, so Christmas is over for us. You can turn the Christmas music off. All right. But the Lord's been good to us. For those of you who don't know, we've been in Romania for about 23 years, a little over 23 years, and the Lord's been good to us. We've got to have a part in starting many ministries, training lots of young preachers. Current ministry is moving along. We've had quite a few visitors over the last few weeks, and we're excited about that. And the man filling in for us, it seems like things are going well even with that. So we appreciate you folks that pray for us, and you folks that hold the ropes for us. And we love you folks, and it's always good to be back at Landmark. Acts chapter number 8. And let's read first 5 down through verse 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. I'd like to speak to you on the subject of joy, finding joy in what God can do. God had done some things here. And when God does things, it ought to bring joy to our hearts. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, I ask now that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit and speak through me and use me to be a blessing. Help me, Lord, to encourage people. Pray that you'd help me to encourage maybe that bus worker that's about to throw in the towel and turn it over to somebody else. Or the Sunday school teacher or whoever it might be that's ready to quit, that they'd rethink it and maybe put in one more year. I pray that you'd use me in this service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. It's amazing what happens to us when we get busy for God. And I've been going through a study through the book of Psalms, and one of the recurring themes in the book of Psalms that I found very interesting, it's saying, look what God did for us in the past. Over and over again, you'll hear them and you'll say, why do they have to repeat that story? Well, you know, how God brought them out of Egypt and sent the plagues on Egypt. And then after that, he brought them through the Red Sea, and they report, everybody knows that story. Why do we have to hear it again? Because we need to hear it again. Because we tend, I don't know if you're like me, but we tend to be kind of negative people. And if left to ourselves, I'm a missionary. And if I'm left among other missionaries for too long, it undoubtedly begins that we begin to recall all the negative experiences. And if you always are recounting all the negative experiences, and by the way, there's a lot of negative things that happened in the Bible. But if we are always recalling the negative experiences, we're going to be discouraged and we're going to quit. And so in the book of Psalms, he's constantly reminding the children of Israel of what God has done. Remember what God did at the Red Sea. Remember what God did when there was no water. Remember what God did when there was no food. Remember what God did when there was no way to go. Excuse me. Remember. Wow. Excuse me. I am sorry. Been fighting a cold for the last week. Remember, one of the first things we need to remember is that God saved us. You realize how slim the odds are that somebody would come and tell you about Jesus? Do you realize how few people have the opportunities that we've had? I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas, originally. I lived just outside of town. And I didn't live in a neighborhood. I lived on a couple acres of land, and our houses were about a block or two or three blocks apart. But somebody decided to run a bus route out there. You don't run bus routes out there. They ran a bus route out there. And they picked up my sisters, and then they picked me up. For the first time, I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Later on, that led me to an independent Baptist church in Seattle, Washington, because I was up there going to diving school. I'd got to a low place in my life, and I said the only people that ever cared about me was an independent Baptist church. And in 1980, in Seattle, Washington, there were few and far between. Got out the phone book one morning, and there were only two, one on the south side of town and one down the street from where I lived. And I went there. And again, I heard the gospel. It wasn't until I got to Bible college in 1983 that I finally got saved. I was a little hard-headed. But God saved me. God called me to the mission field. He sent me to Romania. And of all the places He sent me to a little town called, little village called Bursanești. I bet you couldn't find it on a map. Most people in Romania can't find it on a map. When you come and visit me, you come and visit me on purpose. Nobody passes through there. How did I end up there? Why did I go there? Because there were some people there that God wanted to save. Amen. And still need to get saved. Salvation is a miracle. Do you realize that? Oh, it was no big deal. Those guys from Landmark came and knocked on my door. You know how unusual this is? Do you understand how few churches have bus ministries these days? Do you understand how unique this church is? We need to look back. God saved me. This isn't going to be a real deep theological message, because that's beyond me. What I want to do, I want you to remember. And I'm going to just tell some stories about what God has done for me. I was going to ask the song leader to sing "To God Be the Glory," but he used it this morning already. Great things He hath done. You say, well, God's never done anything for me. Yes, He has. You just forgot. You've gotten so miserable, you've been so negative for so long that you don't remember them. And what you need to do is go back and start counting the blessings. Great things He hath done. Look at verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city. He went down. Philip was a missionary. Missionaries are called to go down. Now the time it takes, I'm going to have to quit getting excited about this. The time it takes to get to the field is a little longer than it used to be. He went down. Times, I guess they could just go down. They say at the beginning of the current way of doing things for missions, a lot of missionaries could raise their support. Somebody's coming to help me. Thank you, sir. I'm sorry, Brother Parson. This is embarrassing. If I preach too hard, I'm liable to blow a gasket here. You know, every bad dream I've ever had about preaching happens to me in this pulpit. Thank you. And I forgot where I was at. Guess I'll have to start at the beginning again. They say that at the beginning of the Independent Baptist way of sending out missionaries, a missionary could raise his support in about 3 months. Then it became about a year. Then it was 2 years, then 3.5 years. Currently, they're saying that it's about 4 years now to raise support. I think there may be a reason for that. God understands that probably the character level of missionaries today is not what it was back then. There needs to be a weeding out process. But getting to the field, he went down. I need to remember the joy of God bringing me down to the field. The joy of deputation. A lot of missionaries balk at deputation. This takes too long. God's called me to Romania. I got to get to Romania. But you know, there's a process that God uses. Right. Let's not kick against that process. What God did in my life and how God used different people around me to get me to the place where I could even go to the field. I think about the vehicle I started deputation with. How God brought that into my life. I have to go back to Bible college. I went to Oklahoma Baptist College. Dr. Vineyard was my pastor back then. I was the bus mechanic. And one day a guy on the south side of town called me up. And he said, I've got a car down here that I don't want it anymore. He says, if you want it, you can just come down here and get it. It's an old 72 Toyota. Remember that word Toyota for a minute, okay? Don't forget that word. Old 72 Toyota. He says, it's got one problem. The trunk has the motor, not the under the hood. It's got the motor in the trunk, all taken apart. So I went down and I picked up the Toyota and hauled it up there, and on my spare time, I began to put that thing back together, and I got it all put back together. I put it in, and it actually started. I drove it around a little bit and realized it needed brakes. So I put brakes on it. Then I drove it around a little bit, and I says, well, if I'm going to drive it much, I'm going to have to put tires on it. I put tires on it. And then after I got all that done and everything was right, God said, give it to your friend, Jeff Bassett. He's going on deputation to go to Africa. I said, but God, I just got this thing going good. He says, I know. So I gave that car to Jeff Bassett. He used it for about 3 years. And he was on his way back to give it back to me. And he got to Missouri and blew the motor up. And I've never seen the car again. But I'm getting ready to leave for deputation. I don't have a car to travel in. Terry Donahue walks up to me and says, I was at an auction with my son Brian the other night. He says, and I scratched my nose and bought a Toyota van. He says, you reckon you can use that? I said, well, I think I could. And so I drove that Toyota van all through my deputation. And the Lord blessed. You know what? I remember that whenever I'm wondering where I'm going to get the money to buy a new van in Romania. I remember that whenever I had no funds, no means whatsoever that God provided for me to get to the field, He'll also provide for me to stay on the field. When God, man, when God calls, He sent you off in a direction. Sometimes He throws up some roadblocks, things that get in the way, hindrances. Sometimes it's to weed out the ones that can't do it. Sometimes it's to build the character of the ones that can, to prepare their way. Back in 1991, Romania was a hot item. I was on deputation for 6 months, and raised a lot of support right off the bat. But after 6 months, we had to stop. My son Nathaniel, who's here tonight, had a severe heart problem. He was born with a little bit of a murmur. The doctor had us come back after 3 months, checked him, the murmur was still there, sent us up to Shands at 6 months. And we were off of deputation for a year and a half, wondering what God was doing. During that 6 months, I had one missions conference I went to. Whenever I was at that mission conference, the pastor had me give a testimony about what was going on in our lives and trying to get to the field. And I told about what was going on. We were sitting at lunch after that, and the keynote speaker was preaching about, was sitting across the table from me, and I asked him, I says, "Do you have any advice for a guy in my situation?" And he goes, "Yeah, quit. You'll never make it to the field. You got too many problems." Well, that was encouraging. But I'm not smart enough to quit, so I just stayed with it. God hadn't given me anything else to do. By the way, can I say this to you, especially you young preachers? Till God gives you something else to do, just keep doing what you're doing. Amen? Amen. Do what you're doing where you're at. Till God shows you something else. Don't get ahead of God. I had a lot of things I wanted to do, but God hadn't shown me what else to do. God used several things to keep me going. One of the things He used was that all during that time, my support kept going up. Amen. I wasn't going out and doing meetings, hardly any, whatever I could locally. But my support, I'd say, okay, I'm going to call up the mission board. I'm going to tell Brother Burge I'm done. And then I'd get my report, and there'd be another new church or another two or three new churches. I said, well, why is God doing this? Well, it was to keep me going. You see, there's going to be times when there's insurmountable obstacles in the way. You understand what I'm saying? We could not see our way through this obstacle. The doctors were saying, you can't go to Romania. There's no doctors over there that are competent to deal with this problem that he has. After his second operation, they said, oh, he's fine. Go ahead and take him. And we made it to the field. I remember other obstacles that we had to go through. It's getting meetings as a missionary. How do you get meetings? Well, every time you get with missionaries, how do you get your meetings? How do you get your meetings? Sometimes call 20, 30, 40 preachers a day and only get one meeting. Sometimes none. But God always seemed to direct us. And we'd meet a pastor here that would direct us some other pastors and would call other pastors and would get us other pastors. And we'd have meetings, detours on the road. I remember heading out, and I've got a meeting over in North Carolina. And it's Friday. I said, well, I better let them know about what time I'm coming in. So I call them up. And they say, you're not coming this weekend. We've got somebody else scheduled. I said, but you sent me a letter and said this was when it was supposed to be. And they said, well, you can't come. We've got somebody else. And so I said, okay. All I had was enough gas and enough money to get to that meeting. So I got on the phone and I called a friend that was in South Georgia, which was just almost enough gas to get to him. And we got down there, and through him, I was able to get a lot of other meetings. And God used that to be a blessing to us. Now, why do these things happen? At the time, it wasn't very pleasant, but God used it to help us get moving. And then our arrival. You know, he went down. You see that? Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Get into the field. That 3.5 year struggle, all the trials, all the problems, all the heartaches that we went through to get there. And finally, we're going to the airport. And Brother Donahue takes us to New York, JFK Airport, drops us off with, back then, 2 bags, 70 pounds apiece for everybody flying. And I had 5 kids, 5 years old and under. Yeah, I'm an idiot. And back then, you could have 2 carry-ons. Now, can you imagine me going through Frankfurt Airport with all my carry-on and 3 kids that we got to carry in our arms too? I don't know how we do it. I don't know how we did it. We were just living the dream, amen? Get to the field. Romania of 1995 is not Romania of 2018. Dr. Lee went with me to Romania back in 1991. Drab, dreary, sad, depressed. But I'm excited. We get there and we're driving down the road, and all I'm seeing is a mission field, and all my wife is seeing is, where are the grocery stores? Man, I'm on the field. Man, I'm doing what God called me to do. Hallelujah. Get into the field. Remember what it was like. All those obstacles you've hurdled, all those problems you've overcome, all the heartaches that you've gotten through. The arrival, I'm there. I get to preach the gospel. Of course, I got to learn a new language and all the other things, but God is working. But look at verse number 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. The joy of seeing God work in the lives of people. Watching people get saved. Watching them get baptized. Watching them grow and begin to go out and preach the gospel themselves and win souls themselves and see the zeal grow in their hearts. We were involved in planting several churches, one in Svento Gheorghe, St. George, one in Puchwasa, one in Onesht, and several others along the way in between. Watching the young people grow in the Lord. Teaching in institutes. Listen, one of the best things I did for myself was in 2015, I went back to all the places I had served and I took pictures. And I took pictures of the pastors of the churches and I took pictures of the people who had gone through our institute. And what a blessing that was to see how God had worked in their lives. You bus workers, maybe you just need to go back and think about what the people that have gotten saved on your bus route. They may not be here anymore. They may have moved somewhere else. They may have moved on, but go back and remember. Not to live in the past. I have guys I went to Bible college. Every time I see them, they'll say, "Oh, Brother Jim, you remember back when we were in Bible college when our buses ran 75 and, oh, we had those big revival meetings?" Yeah, but they're sitting on the shelf just remembering. God gave us a memory and He wants us to remember, but the memories ought to provoke us, not to hinder us. Yeah, I remember. He did it back then. He can still do it today. Camps. Vacation Bible school. Conferences we've had. And teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Amen? What a blessing it is to see God work in the lives. It's a joy. You understand that happiness and joy are not the same thing. Happiness is based on happenings. Something good happens, we're happy. Something bad happens, we're not happy. But joy comes from a different source. Joy comes from a life lived for Jesus Christ. A life lived for others. And when you've done that, you can look back at your past and you can say, "Wow, God used me there." Not that we deserve to be used for anything, but God does it. Verse number 7. "For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed of them, and many taken with palsy and that were lame were healed." Special miracles that God has performed in our ministries. Probably hardly ever a week goes by, probably hardly a service goes by when Brother Carter preaches that he doesn't talk about some special miracle that God has done in this ministry. But Brother Carter doesn't live back there in those miracles. He's just saying he's just going to keep on doing it. He did it then, he'll do it now, and he's done it. And he continues to do it. And that's how we're supposed to live. You don't let the failures of the present erase the successes of the past. God gave us those successes of the past to provoke us to continue into the future. And yes, there's going to be ups and downs in ministry. And yes, there's going to be problems along the way. But we're not controlled by our happenings. We're controlled by the joy that God gives us in serving Him. Special miracles that God performs. How am I going to build that building? How am I going to buy that land? You know, we have the same struggles in Romania. How are we going to do that? There's no money for that. And yet, somehow, in spite of us, God provides. And it's there when it's needed. And so builded we the wall. How could we do this? This is an impossible task. I'm in Romania. Listen to me. They don't give us loans in Romania to Americans with a passport to get me out of the country and away from having to pay the bills. They don't do that. And so God has to provide. Visas. You know, I can't just go to Romania and live there. There are certain formalities. I know they don't do that here. They just let them in. Then they give them money. Wish they'd give me money. No, I'm one day late. They're at my door, knocking on my door. "Are you leaving yet?" The smart Romanians. I moved to the town that I'm currently in 1999. And at that time, the visa process was fairly complex, and a visa was only good for 6 months. First 8-9 years I was in Romania, every 6 months I had to get a visa. And it was only really good for 4 months. Because I'd have to turn in my paperwork to the Ministry of Religions 2 months before my visa expired, and they'd have to put their stamp on it, And my visa would only be would be good from the day that stamp. So I'd cut off like a month and a half or more of my visa. So anyway, the guy I had to deal with in that town hated Americans. He was an old communist. And his name was Olaru, which means potter. Not Harry Potter, but a devil just the same. He didn't like me. And he made my life miserable. Every 4 months, I'd have to go back and see him. So I started getting my ulcer about a month before that, just thinking about it. And I would go in, and I would present my documents, and every 6 months it changed. And so he would flip through my documents, and he would get to the first one that wasn't right, and he'd say, "You got to fix this." So I'd have to drive all the way back to town, go to whatever bank or whatever it was, and I'd get that straightened out. I'd go back with my documents, and he'd go to the third page. "Oh, this is not right." And he'd go through 10 pages like that. Sometimes I had to make 10 trips back and forth to the visa office, and it was 45 minutes away in another town. And I said, "Man, what am I going to do about this? This is crazy." So I began to pray for Mr. Olaru. Now, I wanted to pray one thing, but God wouldn't let me. So I began to pray something else, and I asked God to please give Mr. Olaru a visa to the United States, or please give Mr. Olaru a promotion so that he has to leave this office. Went back the next time, and Mr. Olaru wasn't there anymore. What happened to Mr. Olaru? Oh, he got a medical pension. And so I helped Mr. Olaru get a medical pension. And ever since then, I've been getting longer visas, and it's been a pleasure to go up there. The guys up there are my friends now. But what a blessing. God works. Had a young lady come to my church. Her name was Via Rica. From the very beginning, she came. If I ever met a demon-possessed girl, I believe it was Via Rica. My kids know who I'm talking about. I've had to kick her out of my services more times than I can count. She'd come to church drunk. If she wasn't drunk, she would come to church and she would sing off key real loud, or actually sing other songs other than what we were singing. She came one time, she was going to stab a guy because she was mad at him. I've had to run her off many a time. One night she was walking home drunk about 2.5-3 years ago, and she got attacked by dogs, and a lot of her skin and her scalp was all peeled off by the dogs, and she almost died. Went to the hospital and led her to the Lord. Amen. She's still a trial, but she never disturbs the church services. Matter of fact, I think every church ought to have somebody like Via Rica, because she's such an encouragement to me. Whenever I pick her up and take her home, she'll say, "Brother Jim, why don't you just go back to America? People here don't like you." Amen, the perfect church member. "Brother Jim, nobody's coming to church anymore. Why don't you just go back to America?" Says, "I need you to point out that nobody's come to church." Amen. But listen. Look at verse number 8, and I'm done. "And there was great joy in that city." Great joy. Joy in seeing others experience joy. Are you happy when other people are happy? Is there joy in your heart when you see God's movement? Best service we had in recent months. It was a few weeks ago. We had a service, and I just asked my people to give testimonies. 16-year-old girl named Amelia got up, real shy girl, been coming since she was about 9 years old. She got up and talked about how she got saved, how God spoke to her heart while we were having camp. That was a blessing. Amen. Costell, one of the men in my church, said, "Oh, I want to give a testimony." He says, Brother Jim, you probably don't remember this, but whenever I was about 21 years old, you were baptizing in the creek down by Conce, and I was there, and you baptized three or four people, but when you baptized, you explained why you were baptizing. We do that because we get a crowd, and so I preached the gospel. It says, and while you were baptizing, I prayed and asked Jesus to save me. His wife said, I want to give mine. She talked about how we were having a ladies' meeting and a lady from Germany named Sandy Hastings came and spoke. And after the service, Lily went up to her and asked her, what do I need to do to be saved? And that German lady led one of my church members to the Lord. You see, oh, my ministry's not doing anything. My bus route's not that great. My Sunday school class is just the smallest Sunday school class. You know what? You've done something. Look at those milestones in the past. Look at what God has done. Get encouraged from that. Go on for God. Don't quit. There's so much going on. There's so many people quitting. I cannot tell you the heartache it is for me to have to take so many missionaries to the airport and to watch them leave and know that they're never coming back to Romania. I've taken at least 7 families to the airport over the last few years. What's happening? Why do people quit? I think one of the reasons is they're not finding joy in what God has done. Look back. God has used me. What a blessing it is. There's no greater joy than to be used of God. Receiving notes from people who have been saved through my ministries or been helped through my ministries or those who have gone to the institutes that I've taught in. The encouragement you get from that. Why? What God has done. Don't forget what God has done. Why? Because it gives us some stability for the future. We get discouraged, and that's going to happen. Unfortunately, we shouldn't get discouraged, but it happens. But remember what God has done. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would work in our midst tonight, and if there's one here that's about ready to give up, I pray that they'll rethink it, commit themselves to sticking it out for a little longer. Help us to remember, Lord, the great things that you've done. If there's one here that's not saved, I pray that you'd speak to their hearts, show them their need, help them to seek someone out. Come down to this altar and let us take a Bible and show them how to be saved. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.